Leicester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're off and running here tonight. Excited to get Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 going here tonight with the help of you, the soccer fans here in Houston, and listening on the internet from around the country and potentially around the world. We do have some listeners in other countries. Lots to talk about tonight, as always. We start the first hour presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. We're going to get right into news of former Chivas coach Matias Almeida taking the job at the San Jose Earthquakes. Throughout the night, let's get your opinion on this hiring. 713-780-3776. But the question I'm putting out tonight, and in some ways it's general, but I'm really interested to hear what you will have to say to this. And it's simple. What is the most important thought in your soccer mind right now? What is the most important thought in your soccer mind right now? It could be Major League Soccer, Houston Dynamo, Premier League, FC Cincinnati, stadium rendering today. It could be Matias Almeida and what he could potentially bring to San Jose. It could be the dark cloud of Jose Mourinho, despite the fact that they got a 3-2 win over Newcastle. Or it could be the upbeat Jurgen Klopp of Liverpool and potentially if they can actually win the Premier League this year. So whatever it is, 713-780-3776, what is the most important thought in your soccer mind right now? What comes to you right away? And what's that one gripping thing in the world of soccer that is on your mind? Houston Dynamo last night, you might have seen it on the Cube. Go down 4-1 to Seattle. That's a game where they were without Albert Elias and Ramel Kyoto. To be fair, pretty dominating performance from Seattle. The movement, the mobility of Nicolas Ladero, tough to contain. Victor Rodriguez, two goals for them. Will Brun getting one. For some reason, Will Brun gets up for playing against his former team. And by the way, I saw some people out there very critical of Will Brun for celebrating. I've got some thoughts on that. But should he celebrate the way he did against his former team? 713-780-3776. What is the most important thought in your soccer mind here tonight? Guests on the show, we'll have Doug Hall, Harris County Houston Sports Authority. We're going to talk to Doug about the 2026 potential of the United States, Houston actually, hosting World Cup matches here. Tom Marshall is going to weigh in on Matias Almeida, All Things Liga MX. Second hour, Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, my partner on the Cube, Sam Mbonu of Afro Vibes Radio, knows a lot about the African Cup of Nations and Nigerian national team. We're going to talk to him about kind of the Nigerian soccer community and maybe the African soccer community as a whole and how we can get them more involved. Rodrigo de Luna, long time in the soccer community. Guy who's done a lot for the sport here in his days at Fiesta. He will be on the show as well. So again, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN 975. Also Facebook Live right now. Facebook Soccer Matters. And you can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. 16 years on the radio. This has been my passion. This is about growing the game. It's about giving people a platform. We're going to do it live in studio tonight. We want to do it live with you on the phone. So I want to hear from you. Don't be afraid to wade into the waters here. And, you know, have a take. If you have to be critical, it's fair. This is about growing the game here. We're not going to grow it without healthy criticism and healthy pressure and trying to get our market to a place where we really have some of that because we don't have any of that. Let's go to Marco. He wants to talk about Arsenal. Marco, what's up?
Hey, Glenn, man, I don't know if I can get on the whole criticism thing right now, because I was more looking for you to be a little more hopeful, because I just wanted to hear your
all of that's on, all of that's on the table. Trust me, it's not all critical, but I was just trying to mention that it's okay to be critical of teams and players. This is a part of the sport. This is a part of the sport. Yes, you're up.
Yeah, it's important too. I was just wondering from what if you've seen any of Arsenal play or anything under Unai Emery. Have you seen, do you think they'll be in the competition for number three or number four? How do you think they've looked under Unai Emery? And do you think it was time to replace Wenger and start new?
Well, I would say at the moment, yes. I think some good things are happening, right? Coming off a 5-1 win over Fulham. They're in the top four. I think managerial changes and building a culture takes time. Alex Iwobi.
Am I right with the fact that he's running like a two-forward thing with both Aubameyang and the Frenchman? What's his name?
Lacazette.
Lacazette. Both of them starting, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say all their games have been scintillating to watch, but they certainly have something going. And I think he's a manager that's going to prepare for other teams. You know, you always heard that Arsene Wenger was a guy that, you know, when he was putting his team out, it was strictly about his team. And if we played the way I want football to be played in my vision and what I want it to look like from a purpose of play standpoint, we're going to beat people. I think this is a manager that looks at opponents, adjusts things. I still think it's a work in progress, and there's a high ceiling, but that's a good thing.
I did also read, I saw like an article, I think it was from PSG, I think it was either Rabiot or Verratti were saying that basically they had no fun at PSG under Unai Emery, like he took all the fun out of the game for him or something.
Well,
but I think he might be like a mini Jose Mourinho or something.
Well, if he's an autocratic guy, I don't know, but right now he's getting results. Players have to buy in to get results. They sit on 18 points or two behind Manchester City, Chelsea, and Liverpool. So they're in the top four right now. They have an opportunity to compete for it. I need to watch them more. But Arsenal does come off scoring 5 goals, and they certainly have some players of real talent.
Yeah, and I think Iwobi is stepping up too. I think the World Cup gave him a lot of confidence, and I think he might have a good season this year, like real good.
Very young. Let's face it, he's, I think, 22 years old. Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ramsey, these are all very good soccer players. So let's see what happens in the future with Arsenal, but they're definitely one to keep an eye on right now, and the fact that they've got 18 points is a good start for them.
All right, man. I appreciate
all right.
it, man.
Marco, thank you very much. 713-780-3776 is the number. What is most important in your soccer mind at this moment? 713-780-3776. So, Dynamo went down in Seattle 4-1. That was a tough night. I mean, the big storyline here is still the road. The road has been incredibly difficult for the Dynamo over the last 3 years. Haven't figured it out. It will have to be figured out in the future. Why is the road such a struggle for the Houston Dynamo? Do you have any ideas out there? 713-780-3776. So 18th minute, Will Bruin would get the game's first goal. Christian Roldan in the 34th. Victor Rodriguez in the 64th and 73rd. And DeMarcus Beasley would score a good goal to ruin the shutout in the 87th. But turning point in the game for me, and let's face it, Seattle looked a better team, but the Dynamo scored a legit goal from Darwin Serén. Now, A.J. De La Garza put out a tweet today that said the ball went over the end line. I can assure you, watching the replay off the cross, I think it was Nuhu potentially. The cross, who came down the left side with the cross? Was it DeMarcus Beasley? I think it was Beasley. Whoever got to the end line for the Dynamo, that ball never went out of play. Okay, no chance. For anybody who thought it was a handball on Mauro Minotas, no chance after looking at the video. and Seren lashes it in. Now, if that goal counts, game could change. No question. So that was a huge missed call by the referee, Derek. I believe it was Derek Fisher. So 713-780-3776. Did you stay up to watch the Late Late Show, the Houston Dynamo and Seattle? The Dynamo remain on the West Coast. We'll take on LAFC this Friday on the Cube. Now, the big news in Major League Soccer is Matias Almeida. And Matias Almeida is a noted fixer of soccer clubs. Now, all of us in Major League Soccer know him from winning the CONCACAF Champions League with Chivas and or a wonderful playing career. He was a holding midfielder, a tackler, feisty guy, but guy that was good and very, very useful with the ball. With Chivas, he won the CONCACAF Champions League, Liga MX Clausura, Copa MX Clausura, Super Copa, and Copa MX Apertura. Now, he's promoted teams as a manager, River Plate, Banfield. He resurrected Chivas, winning five titles there. He's a fixer. He makes bad teams better. He's only 44 years of age. At Chivas, apparently, because of all the problems going on there with Jorge Vergara, he was paying some of the players out of his own pocket and went through that whole debacle. Now, as rough as that must have been, this also has emboldened him, I believe. And I believe it's an experience that will carry well over into Major League Soccer. So he's now the manager of the San Jose Earthquakes. Who saw that coming? Now, there's no doubt he wants lifestyle for his family. He wants security. But there's also no doubt that this is a guy of integrity that will give it all to making this a good project. It's exciting for Major League Soccer. He's a personality. I think he can bring tremendous intrigue and excitement. Hopefully a more respectable San Jose Earthquakes. I mean, if you want a revival project, it's the San Jose Earthquakes. I mean, they're a mess. They got nowhere to go but up. But he's a winner. He does have a clause in his contract that can release him from the national team job. If you remember at Chivas, he had real interest in developing the Mexican player, and there's a lot of people that are not happy that he hasn't been interviewed for the Mexican national team job. So Matias Almeida, how big of a signing is this for Major League Soccer? 713-780-3776. If you are a Chivas fan in Liga MX, will you follow the San Jose Earthquake strictly because of the fact that the Argentine Matias Almeida is their coach? Now, he was at a friend of mine's restaurant. I knew that this thing was going down with San Jose before, I think, a lot of people. I elected not to say anything. But he was at my friend Danny Gonzalez's restaurant on I-10 here in Houston. So are Tony. Good Italian food. But Matias Almeida said all the right things. I think a great hire for Major League Soccer. One I'm excited about. Remember, Chivas knocked off Seattle, the Red Bulls, Toronto FC, to win the CONCACAF Champions League. They will go to the World Club Championship without Almeida as their coach. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. What is the most important thought in your soccer mind? Also, I noticed some people were upset that Will Bruhn celebrated. Is that really that big of a deal? That he celebrated a goal for the Seattle Sounders? Do you think his intent was really to stuff it in the face of the Houston Dynamo? I don't think so. I know the guy. I don't think so. I heard him on the radio on another show today on Sirius with Tony Miola and Brian Dunseth. Said it had nothing to do with that. It was strictly about the fact that he hadn't scored in a while and that he was excited that he scored in a while. And he felt he was going to score against the Dynamo. That's what he said. Score goals in front of 30,000. You don't know how you're going to react, right? 713-780-3776 is the number here tonight. We've got so much to talk about on this show. Also, looks like Thierry Henry is going to be the new Monaco boss. Taking over for Leonardo Jardim. He is out. Apparently, Henry sought the advice of Didier Deschamps, the French national team coach that won the World Cup. He was an assistant to Roberto Martinez with Belgium in Russia. I think this is, when you look at this move, Monaco, this is a guy who's calculating his moves up the ladder. So I think he's going to be a very, very good manager. He seems very intent on making the right steps. CONCACAF Gold Cup will come back to Houston this summer. Quarterfinal at Energy Stadium, and then Honduras on June 21st will play at BBVA Compass Stadium. How about that for Albert Elias from El Kioto and potentially Boniac Garcia? Dynamo in 30 days, expected to announce a jersey sponsor and a new Houston Dash coach. That all from Chris Canetti yesterday in a phone call with season ticket holders. Texas Children's Hospital, our first hour presenting sponsor. At the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials, dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital, not for profit, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. A big thank you to the Texas Children's Hospital. Let's take, right now, in this very moment, a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're bringing you back with some mariachi music because Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, who lives in Guadalajara and does follow the Mexican Liga MX, and of course the Mexican national team. We're trying to get him on to get some thoughts about Matias Almeida, who has just been named the coach of the San Jose Earthquakes. So some nice touch there of mariachi music, and that's a city where mariachi is king. All special edition Bud Light Texas packaging is brewed by Texas by Texans. No wonder Bud Light is the number one light lager in the state. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. So we're hoping to get Tom Marshall on here shortly. So we've been talking about the signing of Matias Almeida, who, by the way, has made it very clear that the Mexican Federation didn't like him and was not interested in him, much to the chagrin of a lot of El Tri fans. So with that, let's go now to Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, who joins us now, I believe, in Guadalajara. Tom, how are you? Okay.
Monterrey.
Oh, you're in Monterrey right now?
No, in Guadalajara right now. Tomorrow morning, Monterrey for the game against Costa Rica on Thursday.
Very, very good, Tom. So I don't think you heard it, but we played some mariachi music to honor you coming back from the break. So I'm sure you've seen a little bit of mariachi down in Guadalajara during your day.
Yeah, no, definitely.
All right, so let's get your thoughts right away on Matias Almeida. Were you aware this was going to happen? Does this surprise you? Or is this, the samurai Almeida coming to the rescue in San Jose?
No, it's definitely a surprise. I don't think anybody kind of leaked it before what would it have been, Monday night? Or Sunday night, sorry. I think that, it came as a shock. I mean, I think most people thought that Almeida would, you know, would possibly have a chance with in Europe or possibly with another national team. And so, yeah, for him to turn up, not just in MLS, because I kind of understand him going there, but to turn up at San Jose Earthquakes, which is, hasn't been one of, you know, MLS's best teams of late, I think that, you know, it was a big surprise, yeah.
What do you think will be the biggest challenges for Matias Almeida when it comes to Major League Soccer? You know, obviously they're going to try to school him on the way player transactions work in this league and how it's different. Yeah. But outside of that, do you think there's a lot that that'll be a challenge for him?
Yeah, no, I think the challenge is going to be, and I think he kind of hinted at it in his press conference, it is going to be the treatment of the player and how to relate to the player, bearing in mind he doesn't speak English yet. And you know, even, I don't know, Almeida's a very emotional guy. He makes emotional connections with his players, and they tend to absolutely love him. You know, and that's the basis of his success, I feel, in what he did at Chivas and what he did at River as well when he got them promoted. I think he connects with the players, and a lot of that is in language, in talking about his history. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he came out of basically poverty and made his way in the football world, goes over to Italy, becomes a kind of hero of the Lazio fans as well. And he is very charismatic like that. But, you know, you get an American player who doesn't speak Spanish, or you get a player who comes over from Europe, and then Almeida has never dealt with that in his career before, you know. Different language, different way of talking to a player, different approach to playing the game. So I think for me, no doubt, that is the biggest challenge, more than the transfers and kind of all that kind of thing.
Yeah, he was revered at Lazio, because at that time I was calling the Italian Serie A back then, and I remember how the fans absolutely loved him, and he is noted as a player's coach. You know, that makes me wonder that if potentially San Jose, with a large Hispanic population in that area and a lot of Liga MX fans, could potentially shift gears towards having a more Latin-based team in San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's got to be the... I think everybody's kind of taken notice of Atlanta and the way that they've kind of put together the squad. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure San Jose, I think the sporting director actually hinted at that, you know, about bringing in Latin American players. And I think more than anything, you know, a lot of people have kind of been arguing on Twitter and stuff about, you know, is the fact Almeida's there going to be bringing, you know, new fans into San Jose? And, you know, I think we could debate that all day. But what I think San Jose Earthquakes will get is a team that plays attractive soccer. And I think that's almost more important. I mean, I don't feel that the Chivas team that a lot of people in the United States saw in the CONCACAF Champions League last season was kind of representative of how Matias Almeida's Chivas team played, because they were a lot more pragmatic in that CONCACAF Champions League compared to what they had been in all the time under him previously. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he averaged 58% possession over his time in Chivas in Liga MX, and, you know, he really chased the game. I mean, even when the team didn't do well in the last couple of seasons, they didn't make the playoffs, they were always good to watch. And the big problem was actually in the finishing department. So I think the big thing for San Jose is that they're going to have a team that plays good football or tries to play good football. And I remember going back a few years when it was the Earthquakes against Toluca in the CONCACAF Champions League. And the Earthquakes, to be fair, almost got a famous win over Toluca. But the style of play was, quite frankly, pretty poor. I mean, it was just long ball soccer, and I don't think that over the long term people are necessarily buying into that kind of style anymore.
No, I would agree with you 100%. I think it's a dying style in the league, and I think I think you're spot on with Almeida. Now, the thing is, he's probably going to have to make do with some players that have certain contractual situations, and it may take a little bit of time before he can get the nucleus of the type of player he wants out there. But I would think with his contacts, Tom, I mean, that's the other thing that comes with him, right, is his contacts to bring players there, because so many guys love playing for him.
Yeah, definitely. No, both in Mexico and obviously down in Argentina and also in Europe. I mean, this is a guy who he is really well known. And I think that's the other thing that I'm not sure it's been talked about too much in the States, the kind of reaction to Almeida moving to the Earthquakes, is that the profile that he has specifically in Mexico. I mean, this is a guy who he's been one of the major players in terms of news stories, news headlines, over the last few years in Mexico. I mean, you know, if you're the Chivas head coach, then that's kind of natural. But Almeida's gone beyond that. He kind of made a connection with the fans. He made an impact in Mexico. And so it's actually been crazy to see the reaction here to him going to MLS. I mean, I think it's a major, major coup for MLS, and especially a team like the Earthquakes that hasn't done well recently.
Yeah, worst team in the league. But what you're describing to me is an inspirational leader, and that's precisely what San Jose needs. It needs a face. It needs an inspirational leader to go beyond Chris Wondolowski now because, you know, he's getting on in age. They need that, both on and off the field. And this is exciting. I mean, what's some of the reaction? Is there a lot of why is he going to Major League Soccer?
Yes, I mean, I think there's that, but I think there's also, I think there's two things. I think there's a big campaign, especially from Chivas fans, but nobody can really understand why the Federation didn't speak to Almeida. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying he's a perfect candidate for the Mexican national team, but it's kind of incredible to think that he wasn't in the conversation and that, you know, those in charge wouldn't have at least had a conversation with him. So that's been a big kind of surprise, the fact that nobody from the Mexican Federation has made contact, because if you were to do a poll right now, all, you know, of Mexico fans, I think Matias Almeida would be the number one choice.
He would have been
the number one choice. The popular opinion went towards Almeida. So, I mean, and I think the other one, Glenn, honestly, there's a bit of maybe jealousy there. I mean, you know, to see MLS attract a coach of that caliber that has been successful in Mexico is... And the way Almeida talked yesterday about MLS going to be one of the best leagues in the world, and that it's a league that gives a manager opportunities to kind of develop a project long term. And obviously, the Mexican game is notorious for not doing that. So I think it was, I think there's a bit of kind of, not jealousy, but kind of, I don't know, it doesn't fit very well down in Mexico, because they know that Almeida is... Most people here know that Almeida is a very good head coach and someone who brings headlines and brings, you know, just excitement around the team.
I agree with you 100%. This is a major coup for Major League Soccer, and it's evoking a lot of reaction. He's going to be a personality. He's going to be a manager that people are going to be interested in watching, try and build this team. He's got a lot of great virtues about him. All I've ever heard is what a great guy he is. He was actually at my friend's restaurant a couple days ago, the day before this signing, with San Jose officials here in Houston. My friend apparently knows him from the past, but he's nothing but glowing comments about him. So going back to Mexico's refusal to even interview him, is that because he doesn't fit their political agenda?
But, I mean, Almeida didn't want to get into that, but basically that's one of the reasons. I mean, you know, Almeida... Like I say, he's a very good manager, but he's not without his defects either. And I think one of his defects has been sometimes the way the way he conducts himself in the press, I think it hasn't sat very well with people within the Mexican Federation. I mean, just after the World Cup, Almeida was out there saying, you know, I want the job, I want the opportunity to manage the Mexican national team, and I don't know. I think people within the Federation didn't like how blunt he was, but also he'd also come out and say, you know, I've got an offer from Costa Rica, and, you know, I've got an offer from Qatar. And so he was kind of feeding information out, and it seemed like what he was trying to do was get the Mexican Federation to call him. And I think people within the Federation didn't necessarily like that. So I don't know. When Almeida arrived in Guadalajara, he had his personal press secretary. And he got very, very good press because she was an Argentine lady, and she was very, very good. And she made sure all the journalists were given information what they needed to know about Almeida, his past, what's going on with the team. And I feel they kind of split, and then Almeida was kind of left on his own to deal with the Chivas press people. And then I think since then Almeida's been doing it himself, and I don't know. I don't think that's his strong point. So,
yeah, maybe.
I mean, even last night, Glenn.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, even last night, I mean, for me, he was on ESPN, and then he was on Fox, and on ESPN, he gave away details about, you know, it's a 4-year contract, that he's got a clause in case a national team comes in. And then on Fox, he ended up arguing with Fernando Quirarte, who's a Chivas legend, about, you know, just stupid things, really. And it's like, I don't know, I'm not sure that you've just signed for San Jose Earthquakes. I understand, okay, you know, talk about the club, talk about your new project, but then to get into, you know, that you possibly have a clause and that, you know, and then to have a spat with a Chivas legend, I don't think it was the wisest thing to do. But yeah, I don't think that's going to be the same in San Jose like it's been in Mexico, because in Mexico, it's absolutely intense, that side of the game.
No, it won't be, but, you know, that may cause a little trepidation with the San Jose fan that he's got this out clause because, you know, people have been interested in him being a national team coach. He's made it clear that he would like to be one. So there may be a little trepidation there. Do you know of anything, any rumor that he has been connected with the U.S. national team job?
No, I've not heard anything about that, no. You know, I mean, obviously Ernie Stewart saying that the guy has to, or the person has to speak English, I think for now that rules him out. But obviously, I mean, if Almeida can do something with San Jose Earthquakes, then, you know, he puts himself in the frame, obviously, for the future. But as of now, no, not heard anything about that.
He's the best. He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. Tom, thank you so much for coming on, shedding some light on Matias Almeida. It certainly is a hot story. It is interesting, and I think it's, like you said, it's a wonderful get for Major League Soccer.
Definitely, Glenn. Yeah, I look forward to seeing it from down here as well, see how it develops. But yeah, thanks a lot for the invite, and speak soon.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Tom is wonderful. Tom Marshall there of ESPN FC, and we appreciate everything that he does, keeping us up to date on things. So we're going to talk a lot of Matias Almeida tonight. Coming up is Doug Hall of the Harris County Houston Sports Authority. We're going to talk about 2026 World Cup. Will it be in Houston? That's a big piece. Texas Children's Hospital. They are our first hour presenting sponsor, and we do thank them for all that they do. The Texas Children's Hospital is an amazing place. Go down there a lot. Largest pediatric cancer center in the country. 190 physicians and scientists, 46 labs, 200 active clinical trials. Those are trials that are going on constantly, dedicated to trying to solve childhood cancer and blood disorders. 60 years at Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. Big fans of soccer. We were down there, Freddie Reyes, myself, Ellen Bennett, handing out soccer balls. We had a wonderful time down there visiting a lot of the patients, including the infamous Maylee, who just another one of these sweet, amazing young kids. All right, we're going to take a break. It's a Bud Light break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is going to roll on.
No trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving. Still...
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's Alcácer going for goal! I don't believe this! With surely the last kick of the game, Paco Alcácer completes his hat-trick!
That was 4-3, Dortmund over Augsburg. That was a 7-goal thriller. Christian Pulisic did not play in that, but incredible free kick to win that. If you were watching the German Bundesliga this past weekend, welcome back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Just a reminder, all special edition Bud Light Texas packaging brewed right here in Texas, which means it's brewed to go perfect with barbecue like East Texas barbecue, Central Texas barbecue, South Texas, West Texas barbecue, just basically all barbecue. Enjoy it responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. We appreciate their great support of soccer over the years and this show, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. So we've been talking Matias Almeida. We just had Tom Marshall of ESPN FC on the show tonight. We'll take calls throughout the night, but right now we're going to go to one of our important guests here tonight, because in 2026, the unified bid of the United States, Mexico, and Canada was awarded for that World Cup in 2026. Doug Hall of the Harris County Houston Sports Authority joins me now. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We always do. And I got to meet Doug when he was down at BBVA Compass Stadium, and it's great to see him involved in bringing World Cup matches here to Houston. So since the last time I saw you, which was probably maybe 6 weeks ago, what's going on in the mind of Doug Hall and putting this together and us convincing FIFA that Houston should be hosting World Cup matches in 2026?
Well, we are working diligently at it, Glenn. We have, first, you know, as we, when we saw each other, we were focused on the Mexico-Uruguay game at NRG Stadium and then U.S. Open Cup at BBVA with the Dynamo, and how important a good showing by Houstonians was to both of those matches, and both of those turned out really well for both the Lone Star Texans and then the Dynamo, obviously, with a big victory. And U.S. Soccer and MLS, was in for both of those matches. So, again, you know, our point is every international soccer match that we host between now and over the next 18 to 24 months is important in the eyes of the world of soccer, and that's, in our case, represented by U.S. Soccer and MLS, some that will have key influence with FIFA as they make that decision on cutting down the 17 cities to 10.
CONCACAF Gold Cup, and you know this, Energy Stadium is going to have a quarterfinal. BBVA Compass Stadium will have Honduras. So the two Dynamo players, Ramel Kyoto, Albert Elise, will be involved in that June 21st. So those are games. I'm assuming if soccer fans want to support our efforts to get the World Cup matches here, we need to attend these matches. That's making a vote.
Yeah, very much so. It is voting with your wallet, as we say, right? And not only, as you said, BBVA is hosting two matches, but I believe NRG has also got two matches as well. And that's the first time we've done Gold Cup in Houston many years, but we've never had both games at both BBVA and NRG Stadium. I believe I'm correct on that. So that's exciting, and I think that's a testament to how well we've done with Gold Cup and what they think of us as a potential host city.
All right, so what are some of the other criterias that will ultimately come from FIFA, if we can kind of explain it to my audience? Because I know this is a major undertaking, there's so many moving parts to this. Maybe you can give us some good basics on sort of criteria, FIFA, what they say to you, or do they say anything to you?
You know, so far we've had no interaction with FIFA. When the bid went in, the United Bid Committee was a group of kind of soccer experts and soccer people from around the U.S., Mexico, and Canada that had come together, appointed by the host nations, if you will. They did all the interface with FIFA, and after the bid was awarded, that group has really dissolved, and U.S. soccer is taking direction, you know, from FIFA. And when they were in for the Open Cup, they said they anticipated a meeting with FIFA in the month of October, but still didn't have definitives on that. And so FIFA has been very, I guess, close to the vest to this point with the potential host cities. And but we can talk about what went into the bid and what we think they're going to evaluate, but we don't have a lot of clear direction, any additional direction, I would say, at this point.
So what would some of those things be? Obviously, infrastructure, ability to get around the city and travel. What are some of the other things I'm missing here?
Yeah, all the above, right, and more. So I think the NRG Stadium, it starts there. Without the NRG Park and NRG Stadium, you don't really get on the map for an event of this nature. And then after that, practice sites was really the most challenging piece of the bid for us. They want four locations in each market that have not one soccer pitch, but two soccer pitches that they can control for about 75 days. That's a very hard challenge to turn over an existing facility with two grass fields and locker rooms for teams and officials, et cetera, for that amount of time. So we've got some interesting work to do there, but we're confident we'll get that done. And then it comes down to, as you said, hotels and transportation and airports. Airport was another interesting piece of the bid where they really wanted a lot of control over the airports. And as most Americans know, well, airports are run by, you know, the government and,
yeah,
and TSA. You don't know and how those are run. So that was challenging, but with the bid committee's help, we were able to work through that and get FIFA to soften their position. And then infrastructure, as you said, transportation, metro, without the public transportation assets, we would have been in trouble to get as we approached our bid. And then I think the last piece of it is where the opportunity is to host the fan fest and activities. And I think the thing that surprises people the most, I know you know this, Glenn, but we've never hosted an event like this where we would have six matches in Houston over a 30 or 32 day period. And so, and not only would the Fan Fest be active on those 6 days, but it would be active all 32 days. Every match that goes on would be televised at our host, our Fan Fest site. So, you know, just spanning 30 days straight is an incredible challenge, but what a great opportunity to showcase our fantastic market in that light.
Boy, it's amazing. Yeah, it'll be a 30 or 32-day party, that's for sure. And to imagine, you know, sitting here that people could wake up in all different parts of Houston and be driving to a World Cup match historically would be just amazing. I mean, it's amazing to think about. Now, since it's in 2026, are you having to do a lot of educating to get support around town from, you know, people that can help make things happen and help you piecing this bid together?
We are, and that's really kind of been my mission since we last talked. And just this week, we've kind of confirmed a meeting with every media outlet in the city of Houston, radio, TV, print, and we're going out and doing, you know, kind of an hour's worth of dog and pony show in terms of what this event means to our region and why it's important to get people on board now. And so the media as the conduit to the fans can help relay that message, just like the program that you so wonderfully host, you know, so they, the decision makers, and they in the media, and they, you know, that have influence over those can really get a grasp on what this would mean, you know, $450 to $550 million economic impact, six matches over 30 days, worldwide publicity, et cetera, et cetera. Because most people know the term World Cup, but they don't really understand the magnitude of it, because 1994 was the last time it was in the United States. We did not have that opportunity to host in Houston. And so we know big events in this market, but we don't know World Cup. And so we've got to do an education piece of that. And then we also need to start raising funds, because this will not be an inexpensive opportunity for us to host. And so we've got to form a local organizing committee, appoint a chair, start bringing those key decision makers on in the city that can help us pull this together, because it's not one group of 10 or one, you know, one individual, or it's going to take, you know, tens of thousands of people pulling together to make this happen.
He's Doug Hall, Harris County Houston Sports Authority, heading up the World Cup bid here and doing tremendous work. So what would you tell my listeners and soccer fans outside of attending games and you know, putting your dollars towards international content and the Dynamo and all the soccer that goes on here in Houston? What else would you say to them? Talk it up? What else?
Absolutely. Talk it up. Social media is the conduit right now, right, for communication across the world. So as we start our heavy campaigning going forward, we will start putting out social media messages, why Houston, why we should be one of the 10 host cities, what we do, you know, how we're used to hosting big events, and how we're thrilled at the opportunity. And as you said, supporting all those interim soccer matches and the Dynamo and the Dash, and, you know, anything that doesn't go well could be a potential black eye for us. And so, you know, we just want to put our best foot forward. The market has done such great things since, you know, really 2000, 2002, when NRG opened up and the Dynamo on board. And so we don't want to step backwards at all. We need to keep stepping forward. So social media, pay attention to upcoming events, and really, focus on the opportunities ahead.
Let's keep filling the stadiums. Doug Hall, Harris County Houston Sports Authority. Doug, thank you very much. I do know you have a meeting with Mr. David Gao here of Gao Media, the head of our station, so that's good news as well. So we're looking forward to, and I'm sure Mr. Gao's looking forward to meeting you up here. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Doug.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. That's Doug Hall, Harris County Houston Sports Authority, not only heading up the bid, but just an all-around good guy. I think we have to take a break here now, right? Yep. All right. So Michael Hernandez says take a break, and that's what said host is going to do right now. Hey, my friends at Advantage BMW. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've owned. My good friends down there, Philip, Justin, Sergio, these guys love soccer down there. I drive a BMW, just a great machine. 5 Series, I absolutely love it. But the other thing I love about Advantage BMW in Midtown is they're covering you with sales, service, and finance. It's done easy. You can get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW. I told the story, I think, last week of coming back from Austin. I was up there doing a college game, and you know, my tire pressure just went right down to zero. And I'm like, can I drive on this? I knew I had the flat run or the run flat, but I called at night. You know, this is late at night. I call Sergio, who's my sales guy, and explain to him what happened. He goes, oh, no, no problem. You drive it home. You're in Katy. You can go 50, 55 miles on this. You drive it home, put it in the garage, bring it down tomorrow. And guess what? I bring it down in the morning, new tires on it. We're rolling again. I'm driving back to Austin. Just like that. So, Advantage BMW, my good friends Philip, Justin, Sergio, thank you very much for being sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. It's AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Let's take a Bud Light break.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.